Oh, you made it. You're finally here. Welcome to Half Cocktails, a place where we have a great time celebrating science, the social contract, and just plain old congeniality. Dare I say, a place where we seek a path to peace, prosperity, and exploration amongst the stars. What I'm talking about is an all-inclusive society, meaning if you're not on board with the understanding that we all agree to shared rules, norms, and respect, we're not even obligated to consider your opinion any longer. Because the social contract is that important to a civil society. You can't have it without it. I'm your friend and host, Dan, the Worshipin' Dionysus Man, sipping on some science today. I'd like to welcome any new listeners just joining us. We're hoping you're having a good time. That's what we're here to do. Stay tuned until the end of the show. We're going to be talking about how to get rich using nothing but the power of hope and entitlement. And as always, I am joined by some fine, fascinating guests in the lounge today. We got Ron, the geologist, apologist. Ron, how are you doing today?
I am excellent. Thank you.
You are welcome. And I hear that laughter of my wonderful sister, Amber, who loves that woo-woo and is always right, too. Amber, how are you doing today?
I am always right, too. I am very amused.
Oh, you're ready to get rich using nothing but hope and entitlement?
I really am. I'm ready. Like, I cannot wait to hear this because I need this in my life.
It sounds like a more positive version of Thoughts and Prayers.
Got a really fun and informative show for you today, brought to you by Vault Tech, because life's better when you're buried alive.
I've heard that.
Mm-hmm. Someone just watched Fallout. We're going to take a quick look back at the founding of Amnesty International, May 28th, 1961 is the date. Well, it's the date the letter was written that got the snowball rolling. We're going to look at some hot science news. We got a potentially habitable.
Gotta say that B.
That can potentially host life.
Can I volunteer as tribute?
Oh, you want to go live there first?
Or can I volunteer some other people as tribute? I have a few in mind.
And Ron, I understand you've got a nice little story about plastic testicles or something? Plastic nuts?
What? Oh, we got to hear this one.
Oh, that's just been in the news a little bit the last few days about some research on microplastics being found. Yeah, it's kind of the trendy in the news these days. Microplastics found everywhere.
All right. We got a story about counting crows. Seems Mr. Jones had a long December, and that's been meaningful. No, not the band. The actual birds.
Okay. Well, I mean, the band is great too.
Better.
Absolutely. We got some bullshit and snake oil involving fake invoicing, which is always a fun, good time for everybody. Of course, we're going to play a rousing
rendition. Doesn't everyone do that?
Fact-checking time and wrap things up with a feel-good story. But for now, we're going to encourage you to reach out to us at halfcocktails@gmail.com or maybe over on social media, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, Threads, drop a comment. You can send us a text or voice message. Find us at 443-499-8253. Whatever you could even troll me. I don't care. Go for it. See what you got.
Take your best shot.
But for now, we're gonna hop in that time machine.
Nothing would be better than a look at days of yesteryear in a time machine.
All right, so Amnesty International started with a letter written by a British lawyer named Peter Benenson in response to some social and political turmoil and arrests of two men in Portugal. And to really get the context for this, we're going to have to go way back further, right? This is two stops in this time machine. Portugal. A guy was being run at the time by a guy named Antonio de Oliveira Salazar. Apologies. I didn't even do it with the Portuguese accent. I went Spanish. Apologies to the Portuguese out there and Brazilians. Excuse me. I don't know how to pronounce that with a Portuguese accent. Anyway, Salazar, we'll call him. He became prime minister in 1932. Based on his ability to stabilize the country's economy and finances. Very conservative, authoritarian guy. And Only took him a year of being prime minister before he established what they called the new state, Estado Novo, which was a very authoritarian regime modeled after fascist states of the time, like Mussolini's Italy. So,
Yeah, that's right.
We're on a good track. The Estado Novo, they emphasized strong central authority, nationalism, and social order. They implemented a total corporatist economic system. His idea was to eliminate class conflict by organizing society into professional groups under state supervision. However, it had the effect of suppressing labor movements and trade unions. So the government just assigned you your professional group, and that's it. And they're like, this will get rid of class. I don't know how. I feel like there's a missing step there.
We'll make you all slaves. There's no classism now.
That is one solution.
All attempts at eliminating class seem to end up in just making it two. Super rich and super poor. Mm-hmm. Right? The best we've managed so far is to have a system of three that lasts for a while before it goes to two.
Right.
Right. Like, you can start it there, but it seems to always find its way to two.
Well, we're watching that happen as our middle class disappears in this country.
Precisely. The Gilded Age of America is coming back. you've got men so rich they're building their own rockets to go to Mars, and then you've got how many people can't even get shelter or food or water. Ugh, right,
it's disgusting.
Back to the Estado Novo of 1933, the new state. In order to enforce his policies, he relied on the PID, which stands for Policia Internacional y de Defensa de Estado, International State Police.
Oh, they sound nice. Yeah.
They were well known for their surveillance, censorship, brutal tactics, especially against political dissidents. They got into all aspects of Portuguese society, going everywhere, weeding out swiftly and ruthlessly people who disagreed with the regime, right? They controlled the media, the arts, the education, and using propaganda to promote the ideology and suppress dissent. And we're talking full state control here. This is like if you went to art school run by Fox News, right? Like Trump gets reelected, becomes dictator, and then like all the colleges are Fox News colleges, right?
Oh God, help us!
Yeah, right. Please,
any god out there,
deity,
any god could chime in on this, please.
Alternative facts 101.
Political freedoms obviously severely restricted. All the political parties except for the official National Union of Salazar's party were banned. Only one party.
Of course.
And of course, then you have the election intimidation and manipulation to ensure that you never get voted out. Public gatherings and protests were often met with violent crackdowns. So if you gather in public to be like, hey, we're not okay with this, they're like, all right, just send in the National Guard, clear them out.
Bust some heads.
The educational system was just indoctrinating youth with regime ideology, promoting loyalty to the state, discouraging critical thinking. Think North Korea, like fearless leader. It doesn't matter if the man shits in a diaper, we'll just start wearing diapers too, kind of thinking.
Real men wear diapers.
You discourage critical thinking and you just promote hero worship, right? Like that's totalitarianism. These themes are so old that we're reliving them is maddening. Economically speaking, in Portugal, Salazar promoted an autarky. He was looking for economic self-sufficiency to reduce Portugal's dependence on foreign imports and increase domestic production. Where have we heard that? While actually those policies did achieve some stability, it leads to economic stagnation, and then you get really limited in how in your modernization compared to other countries, right? Like, one of the ways we become so modern is by international trade. When you close your borders, right, and you're like, I won't let products from these countries in, well, then your people aren't seeing new innovations and having their own ideas based on those.
Right.
It's not good. It's like inbreeding your scientific thought.
Right.
Some notable things they did. 1949, they cracked down on the Portuguese Communist Party, which had emerged as a significant threat to the regime in a sweeping operation. They arrested the entire committee that was the Portuguese Communist Party, all the key figures, and gave them harsh interrogations and long prison sentences, which, as you might suspect, crippled the party's activities. Just arrested all of the people. In 1958, the presidential campaign of Humberto Delgado, a former Air Force general, was challenging Salazar, and he was at a rally, and the secret police, the PIDE agents, came in and started beating everybody and arrested them. They're just having a rally. They're like we're familiar with, a political rally where the politician goes to speak, and the secret police just show up with their batons and just start beating them and hauling them away. Hurrah! What fun time. There was actually a member of Salazar's administration named Henrique Galvão that turned against the regime and ended up getting tortured after his arrest. Pretty badly. In 1961, he actually hijacked a Portuguese ship to bring international attention to what the regime in Portugal was doing.
That's really interesting.
I know. All after all this data, you're going to be very, very, very shocked to learn they were even banning books for subversive themes.
No way.
They were detaining authors for interrogation. Poets, they had, if you were a writer, you were under constant surveillance and you'd get harassed. And if your works criticized the regime in any way, they did not respond favorably.
Was there the obligatory, mandatory misogyny?
Yes, it was misogynistic.
Shocked?
Yeah, women were surprise. Really discouraged from working. It's very trad wife, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Any sort of fundamentalist way of seeing things usually leads to the road of limiting women's rights.
Yes. Interesting, right? And you would be surprised. I was surprised to learn that it was done with the dressings of an emphasis on family values. The family is a cornerstone of society.
Yes.
So men are the breadwinners and heads of the household, and women are mothers and homemakers.
As we should be.
Right?
Fuck
and
no.
You'll like it.
And that's directly related to Catholicism. That view in Portugal
that
was inherited from Catholicism. Religion plays a big role all over history in doing this.
Yeah.
So enter these two guys, Agostinho Neto and Mario Soares. One was born in the Portuguese colony of Angola in 1922, and he was a med student and poet studying at the University of Lisbon. He was, of course, he inspired to be a political activist, an advocate for the independence of Angola from Portuguese colonial rule. And he, like a lot of youth, was combining his academic life with political activities. And he was arrested multiple times, but it did not dissuade him. And Mario Soares was a Portuguese lawyer and staunch opponent of the Salazar regime. He opposed the dictatorship, also imprisoned multiple times, but did not shake his commitment
to the democratic reforms that would, go on to make him famous. So in 1960, amidst all of this bullshit going on, these two guys are in Lisbon, and they're during a gathering at a cafe. All they did was raise their glasses and toasted to freedom. Mm-hmm.
The horror.
To freedom.
That's it. Yep.
Oh, yep. Noes.
Yeah. And were quickly arrested by the secret police.
Yeah. The fact that there is secret police is just disturbing. But anyway, go ahead.
Arrested and imprisoned. Well, secret police is designed to intimidate you.
Absolutely.
You don't know who to be friends. Mm-hmm. You can't have friends. You can't share your cultural beliefs when there's secret police present.
You don't know who to trust.
It's almost like the next level of from getting a flyer telling you if you don't do something, you're going to be on a list.
Right.
Right.
The next level is, well, you better do the thing because you don't know who's going to be around watching you and willing to haul you away for not doing the thing that mm-hmm. we're telling you to do. Yeah, so they get imprisoned to deter others who might consider toasting to freedom, which was challenging the regime. you couldn't sum up the repression of under Salazar's rule better than that, right?
Right.
In a cafe, let's raise our coffee cups and toast to freedom.
Probably just having a discussion like we are, like just chatting, and they're like, to freedom. And there you go. A criminal.
Off to the gulag.
Perhaps in the 30s or 40s, but by the 60s, they knew what this was.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They knew by the 60s, the secret police were watching anybody political, anybody with dissident views, especially like college kids, poets, writers. They knew that they were being watched when they did this, right?
Like, so it was intentional. They were intentionally creating a situation to point out the atrocities.
I definitely think so, personally. Okay. There's no direct.
That makes sense.
I don't know of any directness of like I didn't get to read any interviews that they gave about it afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
But their story did reach a guy named Peter Benenson, who was a British lawyer and human rights activist, which, of course, naturally outraged him, right?
Mm-hmm. As it should.
He saw it for what it was. It was emblematic of the broader issue of political repression. And he was determined to take action, and he wrote an article titled The Forgotten Prisoners, which was published in the Observer in Britain on May 28th, 1961. And I will include a link to that letter, which is up on, I believe, the Guardian's website.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to read, it's an abridged version. I couldn't find the original, but I'm going to have that. In his article, Benenson highlighted the case of Neto and Suarez, as well as other instances of unjust imprisonment all over the globe. He's the one who introduced the term prisoners of conscience to the lexicon to describe individuals jailed for their beliefs, expressions, or peaceful political activities. And it was as much an article as it was like a call to action in like right. Hey, what can you do? Well, at least you could write letters to these people mm-hmm. to express your values and feelings about how about these injustices.
What is wrong?
yeah, right. And it actually the article was so effective, there was an overwhelming response, which led him to form the organization Amnesty International in July of 1961.
Oh, wow.
And it got founded to campaign for the release of prisoners of mm-hmm. conscience. He wanted an organization that would advocate for fair trials of political prisoners, to try and get torture done away with, maybe even the death penalty worldwide. Their grassroots activism and mobilization of public opinion became the hallmark of Amnesty International, applying pressure on governments to respect human rights.
Dang hippies.
Agostinho Neto continued his activism even in prison. And he actually eventually got Angola independent and became like a prime minister in Angola.
Oh, wow.
So he went on to good stuff. Suarez faced multiple imprisonments and exile, but returned to play a big role in Portugal's transition to democracy after the Carnation Revolution that brought down the Salazar regime. So both these guys, Amnesty International, getting both of these guys released led to the continued snowball of positive change. I mean, obviously, if you asked either Neto or Suarez, like, they're the ones that did their work in getting Angola.
And right.
But they were definitely had a strong assist by Benenson and Amnesty International. And it's just wild that the story of two students led the founding of this thing, which still today has a meaningful impact on the global stage.
Yeah, what a trip.
I honestly don't know a lot about what they're doing these days.
Well, they advocate for a lot of different situations where human rights are being violated. Some of the things that I read about that they're doing recently is after the 9/11 attacks, they argued that human rights were the basis for the security of all and not a barrier to it. And yet, and that was Irene Khan. She was the Secretary General in the early 2000s. I don't know if she still is, but one of the things that I found interesting is Amnesty International in this argument for human rights. They likened the U.S. government's detention facility at Guantanamo Bay to a Soviet gulag, which provoked the Bush administration to criticize them. I just thought that was interesting how...
How dare you, Amnesty International?
How dare you, organization fighting for human rights? How dare you point out that we violate them? So they do get a lot of pushback from some governments, and surprisingly, or not so surprisingly, also from our own. But they put a lot of attention on violence against women, the world arms trade, like the effectiveness of the UN ending torture, like you talked about. And they still, of course, continue to work for prisoners of conscience.
God, torture's so awful. We've got the data. We know it's not effective.
Yeah, it does not work.
It doesn't.
For anything other than causing pain and causing pleasure in sadists. That's what torture does.
Right. And if you're not already if you're not a sadist, then it's destroying two people.
It'll make you one, right? It'll rewire your brain to...
It'll either make you one or it's going to break you completely.
Right,
which is just awful.
Yeah.
Ugh. All around. Ugh.
Torture's bad. All right, let's wade out of that mess. Thank you, Amnesty International, for being a hero against torture. Let's move on. Let's talk about some news.
Yeah, let's go.
It's time for some news. From our point of view, we'd even be glad if we could have a lap or two. It's time for some news.
Okay, talking about the news. Ron, I want to start about talking about these plastic testicles. Tell me more about your plastic balls.
Plastic. Wait, tell us more.
Plastic balls?
Does Nancy know?
Does Nancy know? Okay, so it's been going around the news. A study found what?
Microplastics in human testicles.
What?
Mm-hmm. Apparently, this research studied many samples from human testicles, usually mostly from cadavers, things like that. 100% of these had microplastics in the
100%?
Testicles. And they said, I think,
whoa.
100%.
So they cracked open a testicle and there's plastic inside.
Microplastic, yes, very small pieces of plastic, and they're not quite sure how what implications that may have.
The end of the species.
But, they said that You know, that might be for the best, actually.
Yeah, maybe not such a bad idea.
But they did find that it did lessen fertility in mice and rats.
It did or did not?
Wow.
But probably in it did.
It did. Yeah. Oh, wow. Well, okay.
I mean, I would think that it would. Like, it just makes sense that it would.
But microplastics are, you know, not just in our water supply, in the oceans, they're in our testicles and gonads. I'm sure they're in 100% of human ovaries as well, if they're in testicles.
I would imagine so.
I remember reading something written by a lady who was a chemist, and she got pregnant. And so she was like, I'm going to do a breast milk experiment. Mm-hmm. And since she had access to a lab, she actually found that the only way to avoid getting everything in your environment, including microplastics, out of your breast milk is to live in a jungle and not be around plastics and industrial society. She's like the types of materials in her seat of her car, like her front seat of her car, was she found that in her breast milk. Like everything. I'm not kidding. It freaked her the fuck out. Like, she was like, everything she was coming into contact with, she was finding in her breast milk. Like, it's just like I'm saying
horrifying.
Not every piece of fabric, but the chemicals that were part of it that it had been exposed to. Yeah. Though they were all seeping through her skin and in her breast milk.
And we wonder why we're all so sick all the time. Like,
right.
We're killing ourselves.
The only way is to literally go live in a place that isn't industrialized. And that's getting harder and harder to do.
Right. You have to escape society.
Yeah.
We can't even roll this back. Like, it won't be like we can't get rid of it, but can we at least eliminate it so that our, you know, fifth generation from now has less?
Hopefully science will continue to move us forward to find things that aren't so harmful to us as a species, right?
And eventually I'm sure we'll have nanoprobes that will go into our bodies and remove microplastic if we don't eradicate ourselves first.
That's probably the solution that we'll come up with first.
but that might, I don't know, inviting yet another organism inside my body does not sound
I'm gonna hack your nanobots and control you.
Right.
That's actually a logical fallacy. If they build nanobots to remove microplastics, it's not the same as building nanobots to take over.
That's how you get the Borg.
I'm not even thinking about them taking us over. I'm just thinking about, like, we already have microplastics in our DNA. What is the nanobot
in our testicles
add to?
Good question. Good question. In other science news, we've got a new planet that we're looking at that looks like it can support life. It's called Glyce 12b. Yeah, it's a sexy name. Let me tell you, it's in a wonderful neighborhood. It's a mere 12.16 parsecs away from shopping.
Nice. Okay.
That's 39.3 light years for the non astronomy students.
So not a walkable community.
No. Closest medical facilities?
Private community.
Oh, that's important. Is it gated?
It is gated by its own asteroid belt. No, I don't know. I know it's circling, orbiting. That's the word. It's orbiting a relatively dim metal poor star. It's a M4V classification for the astronomy students out there. It's become the focus of a lot of study because that planet that's orbiting it, because of the temperature of the star and the distance of the orbit, it's habitable. It's hospitable to life.
Habitable.
Yes, outstanding. I don't know why I can't say that today.
Yeah. It's okay. That's why you have me.
Yeah, we're talking hundreds and hundreds of thousands of years to get there with our current
spacecraft. So what we need then is one of those, what was it, the Dyson things
that we talked about
last week? Yeah. Isn't that
we need a generation ship
that like cuts through space and time? Was that the over the mountain or through the mountain we like talked about? Is that
No, that's
we need a wormhole.
Oh.
Yeah, last week we were talking about quantum tunneling. Which
that's what it is. Quantum tunneling.
The speed isn't any faster than light. Yeah. It was that I don't know, that movie Event Horizon from the 90s.
Oh, ooh, that was a good one too.
That's what he was talking
Let's
about.
Send our ship to hell.
I should watch
on the way to again. On the way to Gliese 12b. So yeah, we're going to keep an eye on this exoplanet. It's orbiting right in that Goldilocks zone, and hopefully one day we'll be able to get there.
That's pretty awesome. One more thing, knowing us though, it's already inhabited, so we'll have to take it over.
Yeah, we'll have to. We'll liberate them.
Space coloners. We'll be the colonizers again.
We'll bring freedom to that planet.
Look, we're going to bring our freedoms to them, and they'll have access to all our cool technology. By access, they can watch us use it.
Right now, they're all sitting there going, oh, crap, they found us.
Run away.
Quickly find a new planet.
What's really fun is when they start trying to when we start trying to convert them to Jesus.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. I mean, that's going to go over really well.
Yeah. They'll be like, no. Yeah, we worship Glaxfarb 4. I'm like, no.
Nah, let me tell you about this guy.
Pretty soon, we might be able to learn about Crow Jesus.
Crow Ooh. Jesus.
Well, I'm trying to really force the segue with that. A new study has come out about crows. They are the first animal that has been shown scientifically to be able to count out loud.
What?
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
That's fucking cool.
I love that.
They can produce a specific number of caws in response to stimuli, and the ability ranges from 1 to 4.
Oh my gosh, I love that.
It's the first evidence of vocal numeracy in animals.
That is so cool. Perfect.
Which, I mean, we've seen things like, you know, birds use song, mm-hmm. complex songs, to communicate about mating and territory defense. We've seen Absolutely. Dolphins using their clicks and whistles and body language to talk. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've seen elephants using their infrasound that humans can't mm-hmm. even hear that they use to communicate over long distances. But this is the first time we've had an animal be like, okay, count to three. 1, 2, 3.
Okay, 1. Yeah.
What's the highest number you can count to? 4. Right? Like that kind of thing. Like,
so have you seen those videos of the dogs and they have like the big button things and the buttons are programmed with certain words and the dogs talk to their owners by pressing specific buttons? It's fascinating. What? Yes, it is so incredibly fascinating. It's one of the TikTok holes I fell down.
Here, Planet of the Canines, here we come.
Like, I just love it. I'm like, I wonder if I could get my cat to do that.
No.
No, probably not. She's like, eh.
Cat's like, meh.
She just would rather meow at me all day long. But yeah, like, animals are so fucking smart. They just don't...
Dogs can do the one word. They can communicate their needs by pressing the one word. They can learn what button is outside, which one's play, mm-hmm. who... Maybe even I love you. Okay.
But you gotta watch some of the videos because some of the dogs are more than just, you know, I wanna go outside, I wanna eat the poop, you know. Like they're having conversations.
Some dogs are super smart, right?
Yeah. Like their owners will ask them questions and they'll go and like respond with certain words. It's fascinating. You gotta watch the videos.
Okay, well, I'll have to watch because I'm a little incredulous. about how conversational dog can be. I absolutely know dogs are more than smart enough to be like, I hit this button, you let me outside. I hit this button, you give me
food. Yeah.
Like, yeah, dogs got that. I gotta watch. Even I hit this button to display affection. Like, I get all that. Anyway. Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's cool. But yeah, this crows thing is awesome.
Crows. I think crows are smarter than dogs.
Oh, I would say. Yeah. I think so too.
Yeah. Yeah. High level intelligence.
Well, crows will like bring you trinkets to.
And they hold grudges.
Oh,
they hold,
yeah.
They definitely, yeah, they hold grudges. They use tools. They solve problems. Yeah. They have social learning and memory.
They're amazing.
That's why maybe we will learn about Crow Jesus one day. I don't know.
They have to worship someone.
The crows in one.
It's like the crow. They're going to come back and it's going to be the Cronining.
I think we're definitely all feeling like we need to make a B movie.
Yes, this sounds like a great movie.
This would be great.
He is the crows in one.
He's the crows in one.
The crows in one.
Yeah. I would be more impressed if the crows were like, no, we're all about Jesus too over here. Let's get this guy back.
You too?
Wait, hold on. No. Jesus was a crow.
Duh.
You sons of bitches. I mean,
we're made in his image, man.
Right. We crows are made in his image. You humans were put here to serve us.
I mean, they definitely believe that.
Yeah. This was Wiley Crows.
Funny. That's funny.
Okay, all right. Let's, before we start a new religion. And talk about snake oil today.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to suggest to everyone out there, subliminally, buy our stuff, that maybe it might be a good time to go to halfcocktails.com/shop and buy our stuff. I mean, I would never be one to use slick gimmicks and sales tricks, but you should buy our stuff. Mm-mm. Because that's just really lowbrow and patently sad. I'll cry if you don't buy our stuff. I do think, however, just taking a moment to let everybody know about halfcocktails.com/shop being a great place to get shirts and hats and wall art and coffee mugs. Just buy it. All your consumer. Be a good consumer. Capitalism is the game. Just check it out. All right. Yeah. Make you feel good. All right. Who doesn't
want to feel good?
Now let's talk about some snake oil.
And about snake oil.
Yeah. Speaking of snake oil.
Oh, snake oil on sale for me. Nothing but snake oil, and it ain't free.
Okay. All right. So this was an interesting one. Because it made me think of a story our dad told us from business in the 50s and 60s before computers.
Oh, yeah.
Two guys are in custody facing wire fraud charges. They made about $7 million in 3 years by setting up some fake companies and just emailing fake invoices.
Wow.
Yeah.
I wish I had thought of that.
Brilliant.
They did some email stuff to try and intercept other companies' wire transfer payments. So how they started it, like it wasn't like, oh, here, please pay us this. So they would, the added level is they would get access to people's email in different companies, and then when they would get mm-hmm. and find an email that had the wire payment info, and then mm-hmm. instead of just draining it, they disguised their transfers as invoices to these fraudulent companies.
Wow.
So the thing was, by bypassing that initial filter and just going straight to processing the payment, not needing the person at the company to do it, they got away with it for 3 years and $7 million.
Wow.
Yeah,
one company lost more than $1.3 million. It was in the US, in England, and New Zealand, these different companies got
I really want to hate these guys, but I'm having trouble.
I know morally stealing is wrong, but
kudos.
But is it really wrong when you're stealing from a company that's stealing from
us? Just a little Robin Hooding.
That's one of the, I think, one of the great barometers of how's the economy doing. If the more people that are like, yeah, no, it's okay, that giant company, yeah, rip them off. That tells you how bad things are, right? Because if we were in a healthy functioning economy, we all had access to everything we need, and we didn't constantly see people that don't, we would be like, whoa, that's a crime. Those poor people, they've got jobs there at that company. That company needs to pay their employees. But we don't think that way, because we know by default, a major international company is doing things.
It's fucking us.
That's going to fuck us. It's like that man bear, right? It's
every like, time. Well,
that's, yeah, I'm going to pick the bear.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's like, is it an international company? Well, then I'm going to assume it's screwing us.
Right. Well, because they are
by and large. And this actually, I couldn't find anything online to back up this anecdote, but I don't think our father is a good enough storyteller to have come up with it himself. He claims that it's something he was told about through friends in accounts receivable when he was a programmer. And what it was there was an accounting convention, and all these accountants were like let loose at the bar afterwards, and they were all out in Vegas, wherever they were. Accountants from all these different giant corporations. I think it was the 50s, could have been the 60s, and they maybe even the 70s. But they were talking about weird shit that they had to deal with, like accounting mysteries. Like, oh yeah, we had this thing, like we just couldn't account $50,000, like. Where did it go? Like, what, you know, that kind of stuff. And somebody was like, you know what? Over the years, I've gotten 3 invoices from this company, ABC Office Supply, and I cannot figure out what their deal is, because no one in our company says they bought anything from them. And somebody else was like, hold on, did you say ABC Office Supply? So what he would do is he'd send all these fraudulent invoices, and if they sent him anything and said no, he would, oh, it's a huge mistake. Sorry, my bad. Disregard.
Right. Which happens.
But he wasn't like asking for $2,000. He would send it for like, you know, $80 pencils and staples.
Yeah.
Right?
Smart. Well, yeah, it doesn't raise any suspicion that way.
Didn't exactly. Most of the time, it was small enough to where they go, just pay it.
Just get it done. Yeah,
it's not clear. He made it small. Now I'm trying to inflate it for today's numbers, but for whatever it was, he made it small enough to where people didn't blink, and most of them just paid it. Yeah,
yeah.
But he eventually got caught because they started talking, and then it was like, oh no, we got it. Then they had a fun mystery on their hands, and they solved it. Anyway, yeah, I was like, wow, that scam's still happening today. It's just got a new form.
Yeah. Yeah, except that now they're not going after the corporations. That's the
problem. Right. Yeah. They're going after grandma.
That's right.
Sadly.
Stick to the man, the corporation, not the people.
You know what time it is? It's fact checking time.
Here we go. What do you know? It's fact checking time. It's fact-checking time. Cross my heart and hope to die. Stick a needle in my eye. Here's the quiz that all the kids call fact-checking time.
Oh, I have a phone call I gotta go take.
No. No
cheating. Hello and welcome to Fact Checking Time, the news show quiz that tests your ability to tell the difference between a news story and something the media has actually deemed worthy of a true fact check. We're here in the Half Cocktails Lounge with Ron and Amber today. Amber, you are in the hot seat playing for Poncho Cat, co-host of the Half Cocktails News Shorts, and whether you win or lose decides whether he gets wet or dry food for dinner.
All right, Poncho.
We're hoping.
I'm going to present to you a series of events and stories that were in the news this week, but only one of them was fact-checked by the media outlet. These might be articles, they might be social media posts, they might be interview quotes, but only some of them got fact-checked. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Either the average net worth of an American 30-year-old is negative $1,000, or the United States is now paying more in interest payments than we are in national defense. I should say spending more on interest payments than we are on national defense.
That is a very American thing to do. Which one was fact checked, though? Because I do totally believe both of them. Although I have to say, I'm really happy to be above average.
Yeah, you're worth more than negative $1,000.
I am. I'm worth like negative $12,000. So you know, go me.
Way to beat the curve.
I'm such an overachiever. What can I say? The second story is fact checked. The government spending.
Oh, I'm sorry. No.
Oh, okay. That was the wrong one.
The average net worth of American 30-year-old is less than $1,000. It was fact-checked. Snopes found it mixed because it was based on old data when they did the fact-check. So the old data was from, I think, 2021, not even that long ago. And they're like, it changes. And it is, excuse me, strangely enough, it changes because of student debt mostly. And with Biden relieving student debt, it may actually change this for the better for 30-year-olds.
Okay.
Yes, for the first time, the U.S. is now, this month, spending more on debt interest than defense.
Yeah. Wow. Ouch.
Well, we have been, since 1962, lowering the percent of our federal outlays, our percentage of defense spending. The percent, but the amount on interest, of course, skyrocketed under the Trump administration.
Wow.
Yep.
Okay. Crazy. Next question. Either.
Thanks, Trump.
Well, you know what? We'll blame it more on the pandemic than him. But I think it would be better. I don't think. Anyway, regardless.
Anyway,
just to be fair for a moment, like I would put it more on the pandemic than Trump. I was using it just to date the thing. I guess I should have said pandemic. Maybe it's my own bias. Okay. We'll talk about biases later. Anyway, next question. Either a photo of an X-ray shared on social media shows a cockroach inside of a man's lungs, or Google's new AI tool told a user that 5 to 10 cockroaches crawl up a man's penis every year.
Because if it can happen to men, it can happen to women. We have a
which
bigger
got back-checked.
I don't know. No. I am so derailed now.
sleeping with the chastity belt.
I'm and tape over my mouth. Jesus. Buddha, Allah, Thor, Odin. Heck it. Like, how many more gods can I invoke?
Zeus. Dionysus. Hermes.
I really don't want either of these to be true. But which one was fact checked? God. I'm going to say that we fact-checked the penis.
Fact-check the penis. That's my new band name.
You're welcome.
New band name. Fact check the penis.
Fact check the penis. Your album cover is just a ruler sitting on a table. All right. So, incorrect. Poncho, no web food for you this week.
Oh, Poncho, I'm so sorry.
Let him down.
So, the photo shared on social media of the x-ray of the cockroach in a man's lungs was a fake photo. There's been no documented instance of that happening. And Google AI did tell a user that, but it's not true. It's complete bullshit. Google's having a big issue. They integrated their AI into their search, and it is just going fucking insane. A cockroach cannot crawl up your urethra.
Good.
It would take that. Was it the candiru? Like there's a there is a thing, I think, in South America that can crawl up your urethra, but tiny. It's tiny.
It's a tiny little fish.
Cockroach.
There is. It's like a tiny little worm. Mm-hmm. Cockroaches can be really tiny. They don't get born big.
I've seen some babies, but
does that alter the meaning of the word cockroach?
New meaning.
Ron, let me read to you the AI overview that this person. So they searched. Can cockroaches live in your penis?
Please.
And the AI overview says, absolutely. It's totally normal too. Usually, over the course of a year, 5 to 10 cockroaches will crawl into your penis hole while you are asleep. This is how they got the name cockroach, and you won't notice a thing. Yeah.
Oh, Google AI, you're so dumb.
Yeah. Yeah. It's totally normal, too.
Look, everyone does it.
It's totally normal. That's how we named it, the cockroach.
Well, son, your mom tells me you've been having some cockroach problems crawling up your dick hole. Well, I just wanted to tell you it's totally normal.
So what does Google AI think about cockpit? How did that word come about?
Isn't that the word for vagina? It's totally normal, too.
Totally normal. Okay.
All right. Last question, just for some dignity. Either Houston has worse traffic than Tokyo, despite having 33 million less people, or Houston has the widest highway in the world at 26 lanes. I should have led with this one. It's so banal compared to the other two.
Such a boring question, Dan. Jeez.
Yeah. And now let's talk about traffic. Over to you, Amber.
What say you?
Houston, we have a problem. I'm going to say the first one, the traffic numbers.
No. The fact check story was Houston has the widest highway in the world at 26 lanes. That is incorrect. Beijing has the widest highway in the world. Houston does have some obnoxiously large highways.
Yeah.
And they do have terrible traffic problems, but and Tokyo has 33 terrible. Million people and way less traffic problems because, you know, they've got infrastructure and public transportation.
Well, Houston is also known for being the largest city that has no zoning laws. It's a free for all. It's the libertarian dream in Houston.
Yeah.
You know, you want to put that insane asylum next to the school?
Yes. Do I?
Oof. I just wanted to make sure I got it wrong on purpose because I wanted to make sure I was consistent.
You know what? I appreciate that, Amber.
Clever. I strive for consistency.
I really appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Okay, let's cleanse our palate with some feel good news here.
Yes. Oh my.
Maybe even a hit. And join us for half.
Okay, so some researchers have done a set of studies, and one of them wrote a news article entitled "Algorithms Help People See and Correct Their Biases." So while I did not pay to get access to the actual study itself, sadly, like I wanted to, I did have access to the article written by one of the study authors. And okay. what they did was they got a bunch of people to rate Uber drivers and Airbnb listings. And in that data set for ratings, they would throw in the irrelevant information such as the driver's appearance or the name of the person who owns the house. And then they took everybody's ratings and reviews and programmed AI to mirror their thinking, right? They programmed AI like, okay, we gave them all this data and here's the choices they made. So that's your data set to train your thinking for new data sets.
Wow. Right?
And then they would take the people in the study and they'd be like, okay, so here's your, here's an algorithm we programmed to make decisions to choose which Uber driver is best, to rate Uber drivers and rate Airbnbs and see if you can spot any biases. And people went, oh yeah, look at this, totally look at this, can. Look at this. And then they're right. like, surprise, you're drinking Folgers coffee. No, surprise.
The AI is racist. No.
The AI got these biases from you.
Right?
And the participants in the study, they were more likely to see those biases in the algorithms. And hopefully the organizers are hoping that by sitting down and looking and being able to see your own biases play out, you can attempt to address them.
Wow.
Nice.
That's pretty awesome.
People can understand and see the biases in others better than themselves, even if now AI can act as a mirror.
Right.
That's a trip.
Yeah.
Love it.
Right. Right. I know.
I love that.
And speaking of biases, even on Fact Checking Time, Amber, when I said the debt spending on interest went up during the Trump administration. That's my own bias that I wasn't conscious of when I framed the statement.
Right. Because
when I analyze it, I know that there is a level of debt and shit from his policies and his tax cuts. But the real reason is pandemic spending, which we needed to do. It didn't matter who was president. Right. That spending needed to happen for the country to stay on its feet. Right. So it's like, damn. Ah, stupid.
Well, it's those implicit biases that are driving policies and the way that our country is run. And it's so critical to try to uncover those implicit biases. We all have them. Everybody does. I have them. And we got to root those out.
Think about how culture hides these biases and passes them along. Look, it's the anniversary of George Floyd and shit hasn't changed, right?
Not at all.
And you look at policing
worse.
And the biases in policing and it's like, this is the modern era. How could it be there? Like the history of policing is a history of racial policing in this country, right?
Absolutely.
For hundreds and hundreds of years. And it doesn't, just because you legislatively change some definitions doesn't change the culture of policing overnight.
Right.
And while it has changed and grown, there are facets that have stayed.
Right.
And are even to this day resistant to change, sadly. But maybe with work from these researchers, I will have a link to their article.
Yeah.
Let me name drop them here. These researchers carry Morwedge, Begum Selakutun, and Romain Kadario more research from these folks.
Easy for you to say.
partnered with Boston University. Hopefully more work like this can help us all. I mean, address our own biases and get to that amazing future that we all want to be in.
Right. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I love that.
Until then, sadly, we have to go.
Mm. Like all good things, already? It's
got to come to an end. I'd like to thank Vault-Tec, turning nuclear winter into a cozy getaway. Looks like, sadly, we don't have any time left for how to get rich using nothing but the power of hope and entitlement. That's on me. I'm sorry. Oh, it's going to be a good one, too.
Daniel.
I know. I do need, before we go, I need to give a shout out to Science, Congeniality, and the Social Contract, making society better than anarchy for many of the last thousands of years. Any final words, thoughts, or goodbyes before we go? Amber, we'll start with you.
Yes, do not forget to buy Roach Killer this week.
Keep your genitals clean.
Before you go to bed tonight, wear a condom. keep those roaches out.
Wear a condom. Keep your mouth shut.
My wife's going to turn. She's like, what are you doing with condoms and rubber bands? You had a vasectomy. Look.
I'm keeping the demons out.
Gotta keep the demons out. Well, we're not going to top cockroaches and dicks. So we'll just say... goodbye. Have a wonderful day, folks. If you had a good time with us today, you know what to do. Tell someone that needs to hear us. You can find us over at halfcocktails.com, on TikTok, YouTube, Instagram. If you're in a giving mood, you can find us over on Patreon. We'll have all those links in the episode description. Thanks for stopping by. Go out and be well.
Now things are ending. It's time to go. No more to get through. Thanks for listening. That's our show. Ain't affectation. Oh, we're just leaving you half-cocked, half-cocked, half-cocked. We had a good time talking today, but even best times, eventually they fade away. Ain't adjuration, oh, we're just leaving half-cocked.